is time to get our weekly view from the north. All of you can find his work when he's not snuba diving in Hawaii. Comcast Sports Net, the website CSNNW.com. He's talking Ducks with Jordan Kent, Richard Lucas, and the crew. Comcast Channel 737 on your Xfinity system. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how you doing?
I'm hanging, man.
That's Jeez, it.
You're all right.
You sound like you're
good.
You sound like you have post Hawaii depression syndrome.
That is real. That is real.
I have post recruiting depression.
Oh, come on. We're on 2018. They've already offered like seven guys today. Come on.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Make him stop. Make him stop. Actually, I wanted to ask you about that because we know how important it is. We know it's the foundation. But I saw Dwight James yesterday say, I'm out. He's like, this is the day of entitlement. Then you got people like Matt who think about it 24/7, 365.
Let me get in here for a second. I think some of these commitments are obscene, stupid, awful, terrible. Like, a guy showed up in Portland this summer in a Lamborghini to commit on ESPN. Not only was he wasn't just satisfied with doing it on ESPN, he had to have a Lamborghini in it.
That seems
it's
a little
over
bit
the
overkill.
Top. So I'm not in that department where I'm all for it.
AF, what's your...
What did he commit to?
Florida State.
In a Lamborghini.
Yeah, Florida State, that was in a Lamborghini that was decked out in Florida State decals, and then he hopped out at the end zone, ran to the 50-yard line, and spiked a Florida State flag into the field, and then screamed and committed to Florida State.
Wow. I don't feel
where
like
he,
we're
where are you from?
He was at the opening. I think he was from, like, Florida, like the state of Florida or something, somewhere in the where football is just crazy.
I feel like I'm not a better person knowing that. But what's your take when you realize, all right, I'm going to have to cover recruiting the next 2 days? What runs through your head?
Click, 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 click.
Let's see what runs through my head. How I can do the least amount of work possible and still keep my job.
That's all our jobs.
Wait a minute, that's
every
what
single
I do
day.
Every day. Oh, man.
I mean, look, it has merit. It's just out of control. The hype level is just so bad, and we all know. Matt knows this more than anyone. If you go back and look at the past classes, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He never did anything. It's just so bad. So we're celebrating guys. I mean, literally, out of the 24 guys they signed last year, Matt, would you guess, maybe 8 become impact starters at some point in their career?
That's about right. I mean, I told Steve yesterday that, you know, he was asking me, tell me about this class, and I very simplistically just said, all right, the first third are going to play, the next third are going to start, and the final third, they won't be here in 3 years.
Exactly. That's exactly how it goes. And sometimes even worse. I mean, some of Oregon's best recruiting classes, if you go back and look at them, there's a lot of misses.
Yeah.
But it was deep enough to where you got enough hits to make it worthwhile. But think about it mathematically. Like, you can only start 22 guys a year. So if you sign 22 guys every year and everyone only started one season, then everyone you sign could be a starter for 1 year, right?
Yeah.
So if anyone starts for 2 years, it throws the whole system out of whack. God forbid someone starts for 3 years. Now it just really threw the whole system. Now you got at least 3 guys at that position who are never going to start by simple math.
Well,
it's just funny that we celebrate this. This guy's going to be this and that. And then by next year, they forget about this class. This class becomes forgotten, and now it's the new class we got to celebrate and hype, and it's just so nauseating.
Well, everyone was freaking out. Like, everyone was freaking out like 3 years ago about Travis Johnson and his signing, and you know, now no one talks about him. You go back, I think 6 or 7 years ago, and they signed Brian Bennett out of Southern California, and everyone was freaking about Brian Bennett, and that was when practices was open. You go and you watch him, you're like, yeah, this guy is legit. He is going to play. He's the future. Oh, yeah, next year some three-star guy that had four offers from three other schools named Marcus Mariota shows up, and then, oh, he's really good too.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, let's move along.
Let's complain some more.
Yeah, actually, I don't think we really can three at once. So when the coaching change was made, you said, man, this guy better go yard in recruiting. Then all of a sudden, we ran into three players in the hospital. Another coach got popped for a Dewey. It was a bad look. But I'll tell you what, it really seems that Taggart and his people remained aggressive. You think he kind of overcame all those challenges and at least right now looks like he scored with his first group?
Yeah, I think so. I still think the previous staff left him with a good base. I mean, I think that's 5 4-star kids committed already when he took over, and I think they finished with 9, right? And that Diamador, he committed and then came back.
Yeah.
They got Graham, who was being recruited by Neil. I don't know how Matt would know more than me if Graham was a leaning Oregon or not before Taggart closed.
Nope, he was not in them at all.
Was he leaning anywhere?
I mean, Oregon was in a good spot, like, in the summertime before they actually started playing football, and he's like, ooh, they're bad.
Once they started taking snaps, it went downhill. so you give Taggart, you know, 80% on that. He did visit.
Yeah.
Graham did visit.
Yes.
He visited the Stanford weekend. I probably said, I'm off the edge. He's like, oh, hell no, I'm not coming to Oregon. You give Taggart most credit on that. So I think it was a good base already there for him. But I think he definitely did well. I mean, I don't know. It's so hard to say. I mean, I give him the benefit of the doubt because he was only around 2 months to recruit. He had to hire staff at the same time. They're coming off a 4-8 season. It was not easy what he had to do. So I definitely give him an A for his performance. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see what they do next year, if they can, you know, keep elevating the ranking. Because, you know, I've been talking about this for 5 years, that they have to get out of the low 20s, high teens, if they're going to try and maintain being an annual power, because the offense has been, the potent offense has been diluted, and now it's gone altogether. And you can't expect to have classes ranked 22nd, 23rd, and finish in the top 5. Like, that just doesn't even make any sense. It happened for a while because of something special and unique that's now gone. So, to that end, I give 2 grades for overall where everything was and what he took over. I think you give them an A. And I think in terms of what type of classes they're going to need to really be what they think they are, by they, I mean fans, I mean boosters, I mean and people at Oregon, in terms of them buying, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid over the last 10 years, that was about Oregon, not about the people who made all that happen. They're going to have to get classes in the top 10. You know, I re-reported this week that average class ranking, you know, for the 5 years leading up to every national champion for the last 16 years is 8.
Wow.
That's your average. All 16 national champions had at least one top 5 class. And I use 5 years instead of 4 because redshirt seniors obviously stick around and play more than true freshmen, so I use 5 years. 14 of the 16 national champions in the last 16 years had at least 2 top 10 classes. So think about that. And Oregon has had like 2 top 10s in the last 15 years.
Right.
The average has been 22. But they overcame that. So, you know, I want to see if Tiger can and his staff can get them up at least into the, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 area, you know, which is adding three or four more 4-star kids, maybe a 5-star kid. I think if that happens, then I think, you know, then you can make the serious argument that, wow, they really hit a home run with the staff. Now, they have to be able to coach. You know, they have to really get the kids to play, too. But, you know, to me, you know, so for that grade, I say, you know, the fact that they're 18th, I'm going to call that, you know, a B-.
You look at this class, and I was looking at, you know, previous ones to compare to this season's, and specifically the Florida guys. They signed 7 this year from Florida. You'd have to combine the 2003 class all the way to the 2016 class to get 7
right.
guys from the state of Florida. Now, I don't think it's smart. I mean, Taggart has really good relationships in the state of Florida. A lot of his assistant coaches coach there as assistants, as coordinators, as head coaches.
Yeah, three head coaches, right?
Yeah, at the college level, in the state of Florida. So, obviously, they know people there. But with it being so far away and the resources that it takes to devote time to recruit that place, I don't think Taggart should do that every single year, make it a priority to go out and
hater.
Get...
Hater.
Do you think it's smart to spend that much time in Florida?
Florida kids.
Spread the word.
But, okay, let me ask you this. because you make a valid point. But did they really have to spend that much money on getting these seven guys? Wasn't he
not these guys?
In
no
discussion
not.
With these guys because of having been at South Florida.
Right.
Was this kind of an easy get for seven guys?
Exactly. This year it makes total sense. Next year it could make total sense. But eventually he's not going to have those, you know, the ability just to walk into a school and that kid goes, "You're really Taggart."
True. I get that. But what I want to see, though, because I looked up all seven guys, and I think there was only one, the Judson kid, who had offers from Miami, Florida, and Florida State. And then, like, a couple others had offers from one or the other.
Yeah.
Or one of the three. So, you know, my argument about those seven is that if the big schools in that state let them get away and didn't even offer most of them, then how great are they? Are they really Southern Florida, you know, South Florida kids, or are they Pac-12 kids? I mean, clearly the four-star kid is the Pac-12, and
right.
the one receiving McNeil is going to Arizona. But a lot of those guys, you look at their offers, they weren't all that, you know, that impressive. Do you agree with that?
Well, that's actually what we were talking about, is if he was able to lure them here out of Florida, you know, what were their options? Were they considering Central or South Florida and came
exactly.
here? Or were they considering the Canes, the Noles, or the Gators?
That's what I'm saying. Only one guy was considering all three of those.
Yeah,
a couple of guys were considering one.
I think it would be wise. I mean, it's going to be very difficult, in my opinion, for him to go after the guy that's got an offer from all the three big schools.
Sure.
It's going to be an uphill battle. He might win a couple
right.
of them. I think, though, his strategy is going to be what Scott Frost is doing down in Florida himself at UCF, is picking a guy who's maybe got two of the three and saying, you know, you might be a reserve for 3 years here and then get to play as a junior, as a starter, or you could come here and redshirt and play right away as a redshirt freshman. I think
right.
that's the approach he should take, of going in and saying, you're not good enough for all three schools, but you can still play at this level. And instead of playing at UCF, have you seen what Oregon is like? Why don't be the
right.
real thing and not the emulation?
Now, here's another thing that everyone, I think, needs to be worried about and wonder about. For me, okay, first of all, three-star kids grow on trees for Oregon. They got to that point 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, where three-star kid, big deal. I'm not saying three-star kids aren't great or can't be, but you're gonna get a bunch of those every year. That's a given. So the four-star kids and occasional five is going to elevate your recruiting class. Where Oregon has really, really struggled, though, is getting the four- and five-star kids in the box.
Yeah.
At offensive line, at D-line especially, and at linebacker. So when I look at all these guys they signed a ton of receivers and a ton of DBs. Now, they did get a couple four-star linebackers, and they got, one four-star D-lineman and a pretty highly touted three-star D-lineman, I think, right? But they need... They need to get, you know, I want to see three or four four-star D linemen in a class, three or four four-star O linemen in a class from down south. Because going out and just getting a bunch of guys who are fast, I mean, come on, Oregon's had more of those guys than they know what to do with half the time. They need to get linemen and linebackers.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. The focus was going to be on defense, and first we were kind of joking earlier, they did the impossible. They got worse this year from last year, but you thought they'd be numbers heavy on that side of the ball, and I guess quantity over quality, or did they get quality over quantity? Were you surprised at all that it was so lopsided, more offensive players than D?
Yeah, sort of in a way, but they do return 25 guys who played on D last year. Most of them were young.
Yeah, that's true.
But how many of those guys are good?
And those guys are going to be more experienced and maybe ready to step forward than true freshmen are. So I mean, if they were an NFL team, it would be a dramatic need. Or a college team returning that much talent, then you could say, well, this is more of a, can these guys mature and develop and grow type of situation, then we got to replace them all. Because if you want to replace a bunch of starters with true freshmen, you're going to get your butt kicked again.
Yep.
It's pretty much almost what happened last year with redshirt freshmen and sophomores. My thing is the skill guys. Like, I just feel like, I mean, and receiver, they had to get a bunch of receivers, I think, because don't they only have four scholarship guys right now because Jalen Brown just left,
Stanford's
gone. Yeah, so they need to definitely add some receiver depth. And so I think that led to the big numbers at receiver as well. But, you know, again, my big thing is that I want to see if this staff can pull those hogs from down south. You know, if Cristobal can go into SEC country and say, hey, the 6'5", 320-pound future first-round pick, D. Lyman, that just walks on campus. Everyone goes, oh, my God, run for your life.
You look at the staff, though, and you name Crystal Ball. He was the 2016 Recruiter of the Year. Levitt is a highly respected recruiter. Keith Hayward, you know, another defensive coach who's, you know, highly regarded. Joe Salavea, Taggart himself. You know, you look at this list and you listen to what people say about this group of coaches, and, you know, Taggart himself last night at these, you know, booster functions was saying that, you know, we hired a really, really good class. What's the expectation then? I mean, you say they're going to need to sign, you know, if they want to win a national championship, they need to sign a couple top 10 classes. Is that a fair expectation for them to have?
It's been done.
But to consistently do it, you think it's fair to, you know, to say that that instead of having, you know, the stars aligned once every, no pun intended, every 4 or 5 years,
where you contend, but are you going to win it?
Right.
When Oregon contended, they contended by winning the Pac-12. Oregon can win the Pac-12 with classes, you know, 17 to 22. I mean, Washington just won it with, I think, average class rank of 29. Actually.
Yeah, and they got smacked by Alabama.
That's what I was going to say. When Oregon went up against the big boys, Auburn, LSU, Ohio State, what happened? The box got them. The guys in the box got them. That's why their running game would go from averaging 300 yards a game in the Pac-12 to gaining, like, what, they have 60 against Auburn, 88 against LSU the following year. I mean, it just got stuffed because up front they weren't physical enough. They weren't getting those big-time recruits at that level, and that's why I think these guys need to get that doing over the hump. They can get to the playoff like Washington did, but it was obvious once that game started. It was like, oh yeah, they're overmatched. They're just overmatched physically. You could just see it against Alabama. And so if Oregon wants, I mean, look, someone might buck the trend at some point, but the numbers don't lie. I mean, I didn't make up those numbers. I just said the last 16 national champions all had a top 5 class.
That's not alternative facts.
Huh? He said that's not alternative facts.
These are verified facts.
All right, let's wrap with this. Let's move away and get to Super Sunday. So I'm not having Fentress on my show, and we're going to ignore Falcons-Patriots. So either Brady breaks the tie and gets the fifth, or Matt Ryan gets a first. A lot of attention on offense. Do you have any rooting interest? How do you see this game? Who do you think gets the ring?
Okay, first of all, I'm getting tired of New England. I respect him, but good God. This has got to stop, right? This is out of control. I've talked myself into trying to care, and I've talked myself into I would rather see Matt Ryan get one. Matt Ryan is one of these guys who's like, he's borderline very, very good. He's good sometimes. He's not so good. He's up and down, but he's really starting to hit his stride.
So he's Joe Flacco.
Win this Super Bowl. If you look at his career stats, if he wins the Super Bowl, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. This is a big game for him, and plus I'm just tired of New England. I'm tired of the drama. I mean, the whole thing about Tom Brady liking Trump, it's like, who cares? I mean, a lot of people have their misgivings about Trump, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have any friends. If Tom Brady wants to be his friend, be his friend. I don't care. But just the whole Bill Belichick thing, I respect him, and I've covered one of their, or two of the Super Bowls. I mean, they're amazing. I think Brady has made a case to maybe be considered better than Montana, and Belichick definitely has made the case to be up there with Vince Lombardi, but I just want them to go away. Like, he's 39. Is he ever going to stop playing, Tom? Is he just like, can he just like join Peyton on the sideline in a bad commercial with Papa John's or something?
Well, the problem is we decided yesterday, we think he just wants to keep up his earnings because I don't know how comfortable he is with Giselle making more money than him.
Imagine the disparity when he stopped working.
Yep.
And Giselle comes home one day and goes, wait a minute. I'm married Tom Brady, superstar quarterback. Now you're just Tom Brady, middle-aged dude sitting on my couch. Wait a minute. This isn't so cool anymore. You got to go.
Yeah, you're not as cute as you once were. All right, so are you – now we know who you're rooting for, but if somebody says, here's 10 grand, go bet it. Lay 3 points or take it. What are you doing?
You know what? I think not having Gronk catches up with them in this game. I think Atlanta's going to score enough points to win. I think their offense is red hot right now. They've got weapons all over the place. This would be arguably the best all-around offense statistically, I think, they've ever faced in Super Bowl other than the Rams when they shocked the
right,
Rams.
Right, 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 right. That's right. That's 100%.
That was five Teddy Bruschis ago, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Five Teddy Bruschis and William McGinnis ago, right?
Yep.
Ty Law and all those guys. So I'm going to say that I think Atlanta has enough offensive weapons to win a close game, and that not having Gronk is somehow going to catch up to the Pats.
All right. Hey, fun stuff. I'm not sure exactly what we covered, but it sounded fun.
We filled airtime with fun.
Yep. Hey,
fun was had by all.
Hey, enjoy your weekend, Aaron.
Hey, we'll catch right, guys, up we'll soon. See him Saturday.
Oh, for Arizona. Well, oh. There you go. Well,
apparently he doesn't want to see us on Saturday.
I have his number, and clearly he had
he's not coming
his
tonight,
alarm
I'll tell
went
you
off.
That.
He's like, enough of those guys.